on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
An elven warrior trapped on modern-day Earth. Two friends with different destinies meet at a magical school. These are some of the stories we at Electric Lips Comics are working on. You can get your copies of both The Mana Chronicles and Tales of Mithril at elpmerch.com. Support independent creators. Explore the merch featuring exciting ELP Comics art with a wide range of designs. Electric Lips Comics. Imagination electrified.
Welcome to the Mostly Pod Out at Night. Mostly, I am Gravier, joined by my co-host, Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 129 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. This is our last episode of 2024 and of season three, as we're calling it by years.
We're going by years?
Yes. When I put these out, I put seasons on them, so that's not just a long-ass list.
So are you counting
2022?
Like, does it reset to zero when we hit a new season?
Yes. Or one. But fear of crossing over running water, shimmering in the sun, or counting, you'll find none of these in real vampire lore, at least in these movies that we are watching for this episode. But what happens when you can't get the rights to Dracula? Well, of course, you just change the names and countries, and all's good. You get Count Orlok.
Well, yeah. Well, again, it was made to be a like regional version of it. Like, it was supposed to be made in Germany for Germans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they did change.
Like, they were hoping no one would find out.
Correct. They also changed it from like 1880 something to like 1838 as well.
Right. Well,
but regardless, grab your favorite metal steak and watch out for the rats in this blood-sucking good episode with Nosferatu, Shadow of the Vampire, and the Eggers remake. So spoilers ahead for the Nosferatu 2024, which is a remake of a 102-year-old movie. So spoilers ahead, I guess, for that.
Well, I mean, spoilers ahead, it's also, if you've ever like even heard of Dracula, it's essentially the same story.
Right. So yes. Yes, but not quite as fancy facial hair.
Correct. I didn't have the effects to have that glorious of a mustache back then.
Exactly. So, we'll recap probably really what the differences are in the remake of Nosferatu for the 2024. There's not actually a lot of differences, which is
surprising. Yeah, there's not differences. There's just a lot of stuff added.
Yeah, like 40 minutes worth.
Right. Well, it's kind of fair because like at the 1922, like they old silent movies, they waste a lot of time giving you the vibe, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can't tell you things. So you have to like infer. Like, yeah, they'll give you the title cards that like say things, but you can't do that too much because it breaks up the movie too much. So they try to do as much as they can without that.
Yeah.
And I think it makes the movie longer, because it takes you longer to like get in that space, you know?
Right. I mean, and they expand the characters a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, because they have to, because you don't get you can't say, oh, I feel this, or, oh, I, you know, I'm thinking this. You can't do that. You have to tell it all through motion and body language with old timey cameras that don't really pick it up well. So it's
correct.
Yeah. Correct. It's a challenge.
So, like I said, the recaps of these will be fairly short. Like I said, it's this 102-year-old movie. It's Dracula, but changed to German.
Right. Yeah. So, it's Dracula. I mean, he's still from Transylvania, but in Dracula, it was like the fictional Transylvania that people thought it was. Mm-hmm. And then in, obviously, Transylvania is closer to Germany than England.
Yeah.
So like the depiction of Transylvania is more accurate in the Nosferatu, right?
Yes. Yeah. So essentially, long story short of this is we make meet our young man, and he is chartered to go sell the property to Count Orlok. You know, he's trying to get his way into the real estate firm. They said, well, he has to go do this in person, so you got to go there and travel to it. And you know, so he, you know, ends up at, you know, the castle eventually after, you know, how many days of travel. They said it's like 6 weeks round trip.
Well, back in those days, because you're literally riding a fucking horse. So
right, not even the horse and carriage. You're literally riding the horse.
Yeah, well, if you're a single person, you don't need a carriage. So you're riding a horse from Germany to Romania, which is, you know, it takes a bit.
Eastern Romania.
Right, yeah, it takes a bit.
Yeah. So like I said, you kind of know the story. We have the spooky carriage ride to, you know, kind of Orlok's castle. We have interactions with, you know, the local people outside the castle and say, hey, don't go up there, but I must. Don't, you idiot. No, I will. Okay. You know, he's left his new bride back in Germany, and she, you know, is having visions and, you know, shadowy things of Count Orlok. He has clearly a big sway in this. You know, this is what most Dracula movies get really wrong with, the idea of essentially the Renfield of it all, right? In this case, it was the head real estate agent.
Well, yeah, in the original Dracula story,
mm-hmm.
Renfield was the one who went to the castle first.
Right.
So he comes back already having been bitten by the vampire. And he also gets the understanding of, well, the vampire feeds off of me and gets strong.
Yes.
So he, like, again, essentially, I think it's like a PTSD reaction back before they knew what that was, mm-hmm. of like, do unto others what has been done to me.
Yes.
To make things better. And in the traditional Dracula, he doesn't eat people, he eats animals. And he's any animal that he eats, he gains more power from. This is his belief. I'm not saying that's true.
Right.
So he's like his servant. So he's his servant and he feels him getting closer. And this one is a bit different in that the main dude that sends him is doing it on purpose.
Yes. Yeah, he's essentially part of bringing the count to Germany, to the town of Weisberg, I believe.
Wiesburg,
yes.
I don't know. That's a W. I don't know how to pronounce German.
Yeah. So, like, all that's going on there, like I said, plot's pretty much the same, but he gets there and, you know, he starts getting fed off of by Count Orlok, and he starts having nightmares and visions. He kind of sees all these weird spooky things. You know, he finds a book about old folklore and vampires. Like, was that given to him, or did he just
it was sitting on the nightstand when he stayed at the inn in town before he went to the castle.
Right. Yeah, so it's like vampires, demons, and like other cursed objects.
Right. It's just basically, instead of having a person
mm-hmm.
give you the exposition of what's happening, right, the info dump, it's a book that like literally show pages of the book on the screen.
Yeah So eventually he gets, like I said, he gets to the castle and he gets the big grandiose introduction to Count Orlok. He looks like a vampire. He doesn't look like, you know, anything else, because, you know, Max Schreck did have a weird look about him, and he really use their features, you know, to their advantage.
Yeah, well, depending on what vampires you're looking at, is a lot of them have taken Nosferatu as like a sub genre of vampire,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they're like the intentionally looking evil and wrong. Like, you know, you can tell there's something messed up with the person when you look at them.
Right.
Like in the Vampire the Masquerade, the role-playing game, Nosferatu are the separate clan, and that's their curse, is they look all fucked up.
Right, right. They look they're halfway between a bat and a human.
Well, yeah, they're all different. They're all fucked up in some way, shape, or form. You know, some of them are, like, diseased. Some of them are, like, you know, misshapen, deformed. You know, whatever it is, they're obviously not normal. So that's their curse, and their gift is the ability to, like, hide in plain sight. Like, psychically. So, like, if they walk into a room, like, people would intentionally look the other way. They don't know why. They're just compelled to look the other way. So, like, they have stealth by, like, psychic force.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, like I said, he suspects he's a vampire because he does cut his finger on the bread, and we get an explanation for that in the next movie of why that happens. He, you know, kind of feeds on them. He's like, oh, your wife.
Why, what happened? Why he cuts his hand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a knife and the hand and bread.
It wasn't supposed to happen, right? And Shell Vampire says, you know, no, but we'll get to that. So anyway, you know, he's, you know, being fed upon, and you can tell Count Orlok is infatuated with his wife, Ellen. And, you know, they're signing the deeds, like, hey, she's great. I'm just going to go ahead and kind of keep your locket. And she's got a pretty neck.
Well, yeah. But yeah, in this one, this is the first time that he sees her or knows of her. Right.
But he becomes obsessed with her.
Yeah. And he also gets, like, because of that, he also gets, like, a weird psychic bond with her. I don't know if that's from, like, biting the dude or if it's from, like, the locket. I don't know. Like,
ever get an explanation in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. In this one, we don't. Like I said, you have to infer a lot. You know, it's whatever you want it to be.
There's a lot of inferring for a movie that's like an hour and 40 minutes for this.
Well, again, version. Like I said, there's a lot of time taken to show you things that you can't hear. There, you know, it's, you know, you don't realize how important sound is until it's not there.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. So, you know, so essentially our dude is just under stuff. And after that, like, infatuation with Count Orlok, you know, Ellen starts, like, sleepwalking and starts to, you know, seeing him and all that stuff. So essentially, what's his first name?
Who?
The guy.
Thomas.
Oh, yes, Thomas.
Thomas, but they call him by his last name, which is Hooter.
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 Yeah. So essentially he starts kind of going around the castle trying to figure out what the hell's going on there. And he kind of finds where, you know, Orlok is hiding. He opens it up. You have, like, one of the memorable scenes of him coming out of that. But he's
that memorable scene doesn't happen till later.
Oh, that's in the ship, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. You're correct.
The one of him rising up. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, now that the deed is purchased, that Count Orlok is going to literally move in across the street from Thomas in the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there's a shambles house made of, you know, falling apart across the street. Good. He wants it that way. Okay. So anyway, Orlok goes on to their version of the Demeter, which I'll know if we ever get the name of the ship or not in this. But anyway, you know, the cruise kind of starts falling sick, and they're like, oh, this is evil. We have to destroy this evil sickness that's brought him there. They open up the coffin. That's where he has let's call it the classic vampire rise out of the coffin, where they're like, there's a board behind them as they're being, you know, straightened up. But everything that gets it is from that scene in this movie. Eventually, you know, the ship does come back to Wiesberg. Of course, everyone's dead, right? He eats them all, and essentially the plague breaks out in the town, right, which then causes, you know, their Van Helsing to come in, like, okay, there's something clearly going on here, we know what to do. And eventually, you know, I believe that does Thomas come back at this point in time?
Yeah, he actually makes it back to the town before the ship gets there.
Because it's like rough weather. So that kind of makes sense.
Right.
And also to go from Germany to Transylvania, I mean, that's a long trip around the water.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, not... it is. Yeah, it's, I mean, ship is, it's, but it's an easier travel.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, and especially if you have cargo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but with his boxes of dirt cargo, yeah, the water route is easier. And again, yeah, Thomas just wants to get back. So he's riding hard to get back. And he does get back, like, literally right before.
Yes. Yeah. But she happens to get the book and reads that, you know, a young woman with, like, if she sacrifices her own blood to the vampire in, from the book that she read, that essentially he'll be destroyed.
Right. And there's and they don't really expound on what that means.
No. No.
It's like, it, there should be, like, another page, but there's not. It just says, like, she gives her blood, dot, dot, dot. And then that's it. That's all you get. And then there's supposed to be like another page to explain what exactly happens. We don't get that. So.
Right. Yeah. So essentially she, you know, opens up the window, lets him in and go, oh, I'm going to be ill. You know, Thomas, go get the doctor. He'll know what to do. And then Orlok essentially drinks her blood. And, you know, to talk about like the whole thing, like they have to be, has to be done before the call or, you know, call the first crow in the morning, right?
The first crow or the cock.
Yes.
That's what that's what they call it.
Yes. But anyway, you know, the sun rises, we hear the crow of the croc, and essentially he dies into a puff of smoke. And you know, Thomas does come back in to see her barely hanging on after being drained. We do see a shadowy figure kind of just like go to her heart and like, you know, squish you like in Kids in the Hall when they squish your heads.
Mm.
And she dies from, you know, you could call it what you will, lack of blood or essentially a heart attack or both, right? We don't really say.
Whatever. Yeah. She essentially sacrifices herself to kill
Orlok.
Orlok, yes.
Yep. And that's the movie.
That's
for the most part.
Yes.
Man, I'm just trying to think of when's the last time you watched Nosferatu all the way through?
It was probably, honestly, I think it was the first time I watched it all the way through. I don't know if I remember. I know I watched it through all the way through before, but I don't think I've done it more than once.
Right.
It was, I remember I had seen bits and pieces. I knew of it, but I'd never watched it because, you know, silent movies don't play on TV like ever. So
right.
I never rented it. It was when I was maybe late teens, early 20s. I had gotten a gift, you know, like we used to like buy people presents in our group and it would always be whatever cheap ass thing we could find like under $5 that we thought was like kind of sort of related to that person, you know?
Yeah.
We'd buy something like that, you know, just to get something, you know, just to be funny. And somebody had gotten me one of those like DVDs of like classic horror movies, you know, but it was like
the old timey
silent movies. Yeah. They were like the shitty ones. Right. you know, because those are like, of course that DVD was less than $5, but right. It was like, it was actually pretty interesting. And I actually ended up watching all the movies on it. Eventually it was like, I don't remember all the movies that were on there, but Nosferatu was one of them. Metropolis was one of them.
Ooh.
I mean, it had a bunch of those classic movies.
I would think Haxan was on that too.
I might have been. I honestly don't know. I probably still have it. I don't think I ever got rid of it. But it was a whole bunch of like, they weren't all silent movies, but a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It was like old, really, really classic. I think maybe the original Dracula was on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever. It was classic stuff. And I ended up watching all the movies on there. And that was, I think, the first and last time I watched it from beginning to end.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I agree. I'm pretty sure I have that collection as well.
Yeah.
Just because I, you know, let's face it, it was Target that was selling or new for like $20, like 50 to 100 classic movies. It was just a good way to get your hand on stuff like that, because you're not going to be able to go to a place and buy just the DVD of Nosferatu when we had money.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever even seen a VHS copy of it. I'm sure there was some.
Yeah, yeah. but it's so ingrained into everyone's mainstay, though, too. Like, we know it's Dracula before Dracula, but we don't know. I didn't really know much about it when I first saw it, I would think.
I had heard the story of, I want to say it was around the time of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of stories and articles about the book and stuff like that around that time. And I want to say I read about, you know, it technically being Dracula, and then getting in trouble for being Dracula. And then literally, like, they were ordered to destroy all copies of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because they lost the lawsuit. Obviously the Bram Stoker's estate found out about it. They sued it because it was close enough. They lost the court case. The court said, yeah, that's Dracula. You didn't change enough. You know, you're still, you know, making Dracula. Especially, it's not like you can claim that it was original because you asked for the rights beforehand and they told right. you no. right. And so they ordered them to destroy all of the copies of the film. So it's kind of a miracle that it exists at all, because it was technically supposed to be destroyed. It was supposed to right. be something that should not have existed to this day. And for it to not only survive but thrive in that time is kind of crazy. But.
Oh, easily the most accurate Dracula movie ever made.
Right. right. I mean, like I said, it's a good movie. I mean, especially for a silent movie. It's fun. You know, they do a lot of interesting things for mm-hmm. it being 1922.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you're right, like I said, it's been a long time since I watched it sit down, but it's like I said, it's so ingrained into our head, especially the scene or him creeping through the shadows like that. When you think of vampire movie, you still think of Nosferatu, you know. Even when we were growing up, even whether we had seen it or not, we kind of knew the story of it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's an iconic thing, and like the picture of Nosferatu you see everywhere.
Oh yes, it's
like it's like one of the you know, classic icons of horror in general.
Mm-hmm. For it being a supposedly destroyed movie to be that ingrained is
right amazing. which is kind of nuts, right?
Yeah. I'll start with my highlights. I mean, first off, I thought, knowing the story now, you look at like the credits, opening credits, right? Freely adopted by I'm just going, no, it was not freely adopted by. Like, they credit Bram Stoker Dracula, story by Bram Stoker's Dracula, freely adopted by.
Well, they do. Now they do.
Yeah.
Obviously, when this originally came out, that was not there. Because they right. were trying to, you know, claim it was their own original thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, later on, after they realized that, yeah, the order to destroy has not worked and these things are going to exist, I believe they like revised the agreement, saying like, okay, it's going to happen no matter what, we want our cut.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what that meant.
That makes sense.
Just a curiosity, what version did you watch?
I have on Laserdisc. I didn't watch it on Laserdisc.
Oh,
I should have. I watched the DVD that I have of it.
Okay. As I was looking through, and I ended up finding they did a 100-year anniversary thing.
Oh.
Where they redid everything, and they actually had a symphony orchestra re-record the music. So it's not the old-timey music. It's like a new score.
Huh.
Like done by a symphony. It was very, very cool. It sounded great. I mean, obviously it's still a silent film, but the music was great. And it claimed that it was Nosferatu in color, which is funny because they tried to colorize it and it mostly failed.
Well, because
it's so old timey that it doesn't even have like the right things. They don't have any references to like to go off of. So most of the time it was just like sepia toned. I mean, they tried putting in colors here and there, but they were so muted and it didn't really matter. I don't know why they claimed that it was in color. It was interesting. It was an interesting take or try anyway. But,
yeah, I mean, let's face it. The original opening part, when it's daylight, is like rust color, and the night is blue.
Well, they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
They would whenever they filmed in daylight, they would intentionally tone mm-hmm. the film like yellow or orange to dictate that this is daylight.
Right, because
a lot of times you couldn't tell.
You associate the sun with brightness and yellow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, so that was, that was intentionally done in silent films in general, just so that you knew.
Right. That it's a day has passed, blah, blah, blah. Yep.
Right.
But on that note, you talk about the music. I agree. The music for what I watched on the DVD was a banger. It was fantastic. It fit well with it. You know, felt like a stage production, which, because that's what they were. Everyone knew stage productions.
Well, yeah, back in those days, they had they had live stuff. Yeah.
I liked, and we talked about like the artwork, stuff like that, the expressionism that is there in the set design. Like, we don't see, like, that was better crafted than the shitty, flimsy, blowing the wind paper crosses in the Christopher Lee movie, right? With, you know, don't go into the shadow of the cross of daylight bullshit. Yeah,
right.
Like, these were like full on set designs and like done really, really well. I think the production value seemed really high for this, especially for this time period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this, as they kind of demonstrate in the next movie here, this was still high art at the time. So like, filmmaking was a high art and even like bordering science right. at this time. So yeah, they took it very seriously.
Yeah. And something that I don't think I ever noticed or thought about the first time or on any watches of this, the doctor, the Van Helsing simile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Discussing the virus, essentially the plague, like they were showing a virus and discussing it. And this is how when he had the medical students like looking around the box in there trying to see what it looks like. That was a virus. And, you know, they didn't really think about viruses during the plague, obviously.
Well, yeah, if this was really 1838, they would not have been doing.
But even in 1922, when this film came out, so they filmed it maybe 1920, 1921, the idea of viruses wasn't that, it was a brand new freaking concept.
Yeah,
all that stuff. And
it was like turn of the century, yeah.
And, you know, even potentially correlating it to vampirism to being a virus. I mean, that's pretty early on that we don't talk about a lot in vampire movies, as it's a blood virus, right? In a way.
Well, nowadays they talk about it all the time.
But I'm saying, but even for this movie to have that correlation is insane to me.
I mean, yeah, I mean, but that was like one of the obsessions of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we're talking turn of the century was when all of that stuff really came around. That's when they, you know, they realized that, hey, maybe doctors should wash their hands.
Right.
You know, maybe stop like
dying when we do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you stop fucking cutting up corpses and then going and birthing babies, you know, like with the same hands without washing them. And you wonder why people get sick. Yeah. Like that was the time period when they like finally, I mean, that shit was brought up a long time before, but this was the time period where they really like people understood and actually followed it.
Well, yeah, there's just some mysterious force they didn't know about.
Right. Because there's people talking and writing about, like, you know, viruses and germs and bacteria and shit back before they even knew what that was.
Right.
But they were, like, you know, using them as examples, and they were right. And they tried telling people, hey, you should do this, and they're all like, you're crazy.
Right.
But they didn't really, like, start believing them until that time period.
Right. But, like I said, the idea of it, and I don't think Bram Stoker ever meant it to be a virus. And for that correlation to happen, I thought that was pretty early on in the vampire lore. So I like that. It's interesting.
No, I mean, they never really talk about, they do talk about that he could make other people a vampire, but it's not discussed how.
Mm-hmm.
It's shown that he does because he had his brides.
Yes.
And they existed in the original book. So, I mean, he can make them. I mean, I guess he was using the idea of it, but not. Yeah, he didn't. They didn't.
No,
he didn't describe it in any way.
No. Like I said, though, just the amount of work to do even a movie like this back then for that length of a movie was insane. Because, like, I'd say in the 20s and 30s, a lot of movies were only like 55 minutes. So this was, I feel like, a long movie, especially for the time frame of it, which I liked. You needed it. But those are my highlights. How about you?
Yeah. So, I will say, I believe this is our first silent film.
It is our earliest film, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I'd bring that up. I just thought it was, you know, our first of like Silent Film. And yes, the earliest film we've ever done now is 1922. I don't even know what they even had before then. I know they had like a version of Dracula before then, but I've never seen that version.
Yeah, they had like Pierre the Vampire. They had the first horror movie was like Late Night at the House of the Devil or something like that. And Haxan was 12, it was 10 years before this, which was another German expressionism horror movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen those, but I mean, I'm sure there's a few we might get to.
Oh yeah, there will be some.
Yeah, I mean, I already talked about a lot of the story and the miracle that the movie even exists. Mm-hmm. I already talked about the version that I watched in the symphony and how great it sounded. And I already mentioned the Nosferatu and what the modern interpretation of that is.
Right.
So that's what I got there. So, yeah, those are my high points. So I'll go to my low points here. It's kind of sad. They constantly like Romania, the land of thieves. Like, all the time. It's like, wow, the whole country. Mm-hmm. Like you,
whole country.
Just like, wow, that was a little shitty of you. Uh-oh. Yeah, they call it the land of thieves and phantoms. Like, wow.
I remember Romania, the home of the people that have no land, the gypsies. All gypsies come from Romania. Well, then they have a home.
Well, no, they came from there, but they're not allowed to live there. That's the problem.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of ethnic groups that are like from a place like genetically, but don't traditionally stay there.
Yes.
They wander for one reason or another. Usually it's because they originally kicked out and they had to move somewhere, so they just kept on the move.
Yep.
I mean, not their fault. I mean, there's a whole bunch of like Irish travelers. Have you ever heard of those?
I have not.
I know you've seen like Snatch.
Yeah.
And, like those kind of movies that we're talking about, the Pikeys.
Yeah.
That's those are
okay.
Irish travelers. They're kind of like, they're depicted in the same way that they depict, you know, quote unquote, you know, gypsies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they kind of wander around, but they are a separate ethnic group. They're not just Irish people that travel around. They're a separate ethnic group. So again, it's like that all over Europe. I'm not singling out one. I just think it's interesting. when she was like all sick and messed up, they're like, oh, it's just some blood congestion.
Yeah, congestion of the blood.
Like, what the fuck is that? What does that even mean? Like, what's blood congestion? I was waiting. I was like, is he gonna say just bleed it out? And I was like, I'm pretty sure they don't do that anymore. But no, he never said that. They said, oh, it's some blood congestion, she'll be fine.
I actually attribute that, the idea of it, to the old Roman way of that you have four, you know, liquid humors, inside you.
Yeah, humors.
Yeah, so bile, piss, blood, and
semen.
And that's, if you're, any one of those is out of balance, you gotta get them into balance, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's like Middle Ages.
I agree. So is bloodletting.
The way that he was saying it, I was like, oh, is he gonna like bring out some leeches? Like, what the fuck is he talking about? But no, that's what they left it. He's like, ah, just some blood congestion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good job, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the facial hair and their sideburns in the movie were ridiculous. Yeah. They were like, they looked like they cut chunks of like goat hair off and just glued it to their face. Like it was all over the place.
Oh, don't worry, I have eyebrows and sideburns / sideburns. Yeah, on my exactly. List.
It's like everybody that's supposed to be like shifty or old, they just like glued random chunks of hair to their face.
Yeah, Nock had like 5 foot eyebrows.
Right. And then sideburns that were hanging down like 2 feet off his head.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But yeah, they were all over the place. Like I think the sailors were the worst ones.
Oh, yes.
They were all over the place. Because I think they were like, oh, you're only on set for one day here. I'll put on this sideburn wig.
Is this glue coming off? Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll wear off on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending. I forgot that she died at the end. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that she's just dead. Like I was expecting her to come back.
Nope. She's dead.
Oh, nope. That's she's just dead. And that's just the end. All right. Okay. Got it. It's a depressing movie.
Yes.
That's all I got. What do you got?
Yeah. I said eyebrows and sideburns. I just wrote that. And, yep. My God, did people read that much slower back in 1922? Because those title trains were up a long time.
Yeah, like literally. I was like, can I? I wonder if I hit fast forward. Like, if I just tap it, does it do like the 10 seconds? It doesn't. It does 30. So I didn't do that because it was like skipping stuff.
If you cut out the title cards, there's probably 30 minutes right there. the text. Like, okay, I understand like 20, 25 seconds, but like there's like five words and it's up there for like 45 seconds. Like, I get it. Thanks. Yeah,
like literally, like, I read it and then I would like look at my phone for like 30 seconds, like waiting for it.
Right. I mean, it's not like you had to hear anything.
Anyway, right. So. It's like, okay, got it. Let's go, guys.
Yeah. I thought hysterical that Orlok just picks up his coffin and streams about the town with it. And then him and his coffin dissipate into the door.
Oh, that was one thing I thought was pretty cool too, is they got like some very early stop motion animation in.
Mm-hmm.
Like him like moving the coffins.
Yep.
By themselves, and then him moving like the ship's hold door and stuff. It was like, that's gotta be very early versions of that.
Oh, easily.
I don't think easily. It's the first one. I'm just saying it's gotta be very early uses of that.
Yeah. But I thought it was weird that his coffin would just dissipate with, turn the mist with him. Like, if he could just carry that shit yourself and just go through things, you can just walk there. Like, what other powers do you have?
There was another one where he was, I know it wasn't sepia tone, but he was walking down the street and it was very clearly daylight.
Oh, yes.
Because there's like shadows from everything as if it's like daylight. I'm like, pretty sure he's not supposed to be out in the sun.
Well, in fairness, if you can have a vampire in daylight, then you can have shadows of crosses at night.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, I know it's because, again, it's like sepia toned is day. If it's not sepia toned, that means it's not day. Even if you see shadows and it's very obviously day, it's not actually day. So I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it.
Correct.
Correct. But yeah, no, it's fun.
But those are my low points. So our out of this week are pints of blood. Out of 10. So Salem, how many pints of blood out of 10 do you give the 1922 Nosferatu?
I mean, this one's tough to score, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the root of
everything.
A lot. Yeah, I mean, it's like a root of like 90% of horror, right? So, yeah. I mean, if it's the root of 90% of horror, I mean, do you just go with a 10? Or, I mean, am I going about how I personally enjoyed it?
It's
as of right now.
How you personally enjoyed it as of right now.
If I'm going by how I personally enjoyed it right now, I would say 8.
8.
It's good, but there's a lot of stuff that obviously is out of touch because it's very old. And that's not its fault. You know, it is timeless. But timeless only, you know, as I know the name is deceiving, but timeless only goes so far, you know, 102 years, I believe timeless is worn off.
Oh, easily. I don't disagree. Like I said, this is, it is a classic. Is it the perfect movie? No, it's not. Let's face it.
I mean, again, if I watched this in 1922, it would be a 10, obviously, because compared to what was out at the time, this would blow my mind.
Oh yeah,
but and again, it's there's a lot of things that have a result of this that I know hold the roots to this, you know. So highly, you know, I highly respect it. As enjoying it right now, that's what I get.
Yeah, and this is not one of those things that you can just turn on and then go do other things because you have no idea what's happening. Oh, I have music playing. That's right. All you would hear. Yeah, if you were cooking something. Like it's not. You have to sit. And you have to read.
Yeah. No, there's no in the background with this.
No. But like I said, it is a classic. And other than, you know, let's call it Shadow of the Vampire a remake, which I wouldn't call it that. But it took this long for it to get remade is a testament to the movie itself. Because everything we're watching is getting remade. Everything we grew up as teenagers in our 20s is now getting remade. It took 102 years for this to happen. So
shit, stuff that came out 10 years ago is getting remade.
I know. That being said, I agree with you. It is 8 pints of blood out of 10. It is a solid, solid movie. If you haven't seen it, even if you think you know the story, which you do, watch it to understand where a lot of stuff comes from.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say. I was going to say something else, but I forgot. I got sidetracked. No, the original running time, most of the time the film was played faster. So, like, if you read the running times of this film, it goes all over the place. It's anywhere from, like, 50-something minutes all the way to, like, that. Because, again, because there's no sound, sometimes they sped the film up. So I think if the film was sped up, I think the title cards would be the right length of time on the screen. I think because we're watching it at the speed it was intended to be. Because a lot of silent films run faster than real life does. And I think this one originally did as well. It just as time goes on, it stayed true to the thing and got longer over time.
Like I said, it's about 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Yeah. No, if you watch it at standard speed. Yeah. But I think there are versions that are faster.
But still watch this. Like I said, even if you haven't seen it, but you know the story, just watch it. You have to know the roots of horror.
Yeah. And again, for being an old silent movie, it really is an interesting, fun watch.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Sam, take us through Shadow of the Vampire from 2001, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Shadow of the Vampire. it's an interesting film. It's a film depicting the making of the original Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm.
So in this version, we are seeing the makers of the film. So John Malkovich plays the director. What was his name? Myrno or something.
El Doctor.
Yeah, whatever. Or Herr Doctor.
Herr Doctor, yeah.
But yeah, so he is the main guy. There's like the weird German guy that's in every movie. I have no idea what his name is, but anytime there's a German in a movie that has to be slightly strange, it's always the same fucking dude. You know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
He is in it as the producer. We have, Willem Dafoe plays Max Schreck, the actor that plays Count Orlok. Eddie Izzard is in it. He plays the actor who plays Hooter. And then later in the film, we get Cary Elwes, who is the director of photography.
Second director.
Yeah. Like I said, he doesn't show up till later because the first one leaves. Well,
he leaves the movie.
Yeah. Anyway, so essentially they're filming the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So in this version of the movie, I'll just go into it, is the vampire is real.
Yeah.
So Max he's Schreck. Filming, yeah. Max Schreck is actually a vampire. Not, his name isn't Count Orlok, but he is a old vampire. And he's mm-hmm. been there for a long time. And the director met him in his school days. And he's been building this film around that vampire. So he's gonna film he wanted it to be Dracula, of course, that he got turned down with the rights, so he made his own version. And this is why, because he had to make a vampire movie, because he can make the most film accurate vampire movie ever, because it's going to be a real vampire,
right?
So it's essentially, imagine the filming of this movie, but Count Orlok is a real vampire that actually does look like that. It's not makeup. That's what he actually looks like and acts like. Mm-hmm. And then Willem Dafoe plays the Count Orlok. It's interesting. I mean, and as they're filming the movie, the first director of photography gets bitten enough where he gets super sick and has to leave the film. And then Cary Elwes comes and he's the second guy. He's like a very flamboyant, I kind of want to call him like a World War One pilot. Like, there's just people that just have no fear, and just very, playboyish. And he takes over. And then he puts in those little arty things, with the shadow and the stop motion mm-hmm. animation and the lighting use and all that stuff. He's the one that adds that in that yes. magic part.
Yeah. Slow motion. He's like, right. I'll shoot it really fast. And then we play back normal speed. This seems right. like it's going slow.
Yeah. So again, that's the way that they talk about the film is they talk about it like it's a high art science at this point in time,
mm-hmm.
which it kind of is. I mean, that filmmaking is a very new art at the time. Like at the time, no real artist considered film art.
Correct.
I mean, and that's how it is with every new art form. Every new art form, when it first comes out, everybody's like, oh, that's not art. Like, painting is art, you know, and nowadays, very clearly movies are seen as art, right? But now, what do they call it? Oh, that's not art, right? What do we got? Video games, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's not art. That's what, again, every time a new art form comes out, these, you know, snooty people, I'm not saying they're all like that. I'm just saying some of the snooty people are like, oh, that's not art. But this is the realm that we're in, where film is not necessarily there. So he's trying to make true art, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, essentially, and of course, you know, Count Orlok is being very difficult. He refuses to go in the boat to go to, you know, the next filming location. So they have to build the boat in his castle. So all of the scenes that were like in the boat in Nosferatu are actually filmed in a fake boat inside the castle, which I thought was fun.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, over time, yeah, he attacks, you know, crew members and stuff like that, and over time they start learning that it really is a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's promised him, the vampire, the reason why the vampire is doing this is he knows who the main actress that plays Ellen is. It's an actress named Greta. Yeah.
Yep.
And he knows who she is and he's obsessed with her and he is getting her as his price. So his price to make the film is he gets to eat Greta. That's his payment. So that's like he's doing all of this and listening to, you know, and doing the filming and listening to the director and doing whatever he wants because he is getting his Greta at the end. So, yeah, like I said, over time, you know, a lot of the crew get injured and hurt and there's very few people learn what's actually going on. So it's the director, the producer, the second director of photography. they learn what's happening. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of make this plan that, okay, we're gonna not give him Greta. We're going to kill him so that we don't have to give up Greta. So essentially they go through all the filming in the movie. They're at the last scenes that are supposed to be in Wiesburg, which is actually on this island that they went to. And they're filming the scene and they basically drug Greta so that she's laying on the bed like and she can't move with what like morphine, I think.
Well, she already used morphine previously, yes.
Right, yeah. She's an addict to morphine. So they give her more morphine. And also the director is an addict too. So he's like very erratic. So it's basically like the producer and Cary Elwes are like, you know, trying to figure out what they can do. And so they rig up this kind of thing that when he comes, they're filming underground, so there's no actual natural light that gets in there. So they plan out this scene of like, they're going to film the scene of like him drinking her blood, and then they're going to have him get up and act a scene over by this window, and then they're going to trigger this big garage door thing that opens, and Sun's going to come in and kill him.
Right.
But Count Orlok finds out about it ahead of time, disables it so that it doesn't work. So they try to do that. That obviously doesn't work. And then there's like this big long scene where Count Orlok kills the producer. he kills, I don't know. Does Cary Elwes die? I mean, I know he like gets, yes. Yeah, I was going to say like he doesn't move, but I didn't know if he was dead.
He strangled his like next nap, essentially.
Yeah, so he dies. Like everybody essentially dies. And then people from the outside end up opening the garage door because they like figure out something's going on in there, and then he does die from the sun, and the director ends up capturing it all on film.
Yep.
And so then he ends up, you know, producing the film and getting it out there, but in reality, like, it was a real vampire and all these people died making the film
for his art.
For his art, yes.
Yes. Yep.
So again, most of the scenes in the movie are just them filming the classic scenes. So like if you haven't seen the original Nosferatu before you see this movie, you probably should because there's a lot of stuff that you will not get. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do show the original scenes of the film and shown in, you know, with their actors. So they show it like what it looks like in the film. But again, I think it takes away from it if you've never seen the original.
Right.
And I did see the original before I saw this movie. I saw this movie right when it came out.
It might be when I watched the original Nosferatu, quite honestly. I was in prep for this movie.
I watched it because, I mean, I was really big into IFC at that time. And but this is back when IFC, before IFC had commercials. This is before IFC, like, even censored anything. Like, this, it was like IFC would play like uncut movies, and that was like it. But they would also do a lot of advertising for like indie and interesting films. So there was a lot of films that I saw around that time period because I got, they saw ads on IFC that a lot of other people didn't see.
Right.
And this is one of, I'm not saying that people didn't see this movie. It was like nominated for Oscars and shit. So it was a known film, but this is why I went and saw it. I believe.
I remember watching trailers for this movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I went to the theater to watch it. I may have. I don't have a memory of doing that. I probably didn't, but I know I was thinking, I was thinking about it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a big fan of Willem Dafoe.
And he is Willem Dafoe as Max Wreck perfectly in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I believe he was nominated for an Oscar for the best supporting actor in this film.
Yeah.
And again, the makeup in this movie is great. And the makeup was also nominated and lost to what film?
In 2001?
Yeah.
Final Destination.
Yeah, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Son of a bitch.
It lost best makeup to that shit movie. Yeah, so that was the main thing that people thought it was going to win and end up losing it. And then, the people thought it was going to win the best supporting actor. I don't think it did that either.
Yeah. But no, this is, like I said, you have to watch, as you said, watch the original before watching this. You can understand the ideas behind it. Is like, it's a fun parody or a retelling of the movie being made.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's like, you get like a lot of like interesting anecdotes. If you know what the scenes are in the film, you know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like I think it just, it lays a lot more. You get a lot more out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I'll say the cast, right? The cast is fantastic. As we get John Malkovich, this is before he was like super huge. He was pretty big at this time.
Oh yeah.
But he wasn't like untouchable. Like, he was still doing goofy films around this time period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Willem Dafoe is great. I don't know if there's anything he's been in that I don't like. Or at least I like his performance in it. There's been shit movies that he's been in, but yeah. I've always enjoyed his performances in those shit movies. Yeah, I mean, Eddie Izzard is an interesting find, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a lot of acting jobs around this time, but it's still fun to see him in there. Cary Elwes is always a pleasure to see.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought it was a fun cast. They all had great chemistry. It was all done well. Again, the acting performances I thought were great. I mean, obviously it was Oscar nominated, so I mean, they do some fun stuff. Like we already said, it ties in well with the original, so if you've seen the original and then watch this right after it, it really does add more to it.
That's a fantastic companion piece.
Yeah, right. And then I literally like the idea that like movies are science, movies are like high art at this time. And it's like a true artistic visionary trying to bring his vision to life and sacrificing everyone in the process. I thought it's fun.
Yeah. That's all you got.
That's all you got.
Yeah, I completely agree. The cast, especially Dafoe, amazing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. I said it's fun, the recreation of the movie, as we said. I like the idea of Max Wreck being a real vampire. It adds a level of madness and kind of hilarity to the movie.
Yeah, it's a movie that's it's all kinds of different layers. Like, it has a definite comedy layer there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making fun of like, actors and directors and how they interact and stuff like that. It's got the horror element, obviously, because there's a real vampire there, right? That's like killing people for real, and people know that it's happening.
Yep.
And are letting it happen anyway. And there's also the dramatic aspect of like, trying to get that perfect vision made.
Right. Right. And it's funny, because especially in this movie, they're talking about like the method actors, that people don't leave character. And it's a poke of fun of that, too. because like, oh, that Max Shrek, he's count, just call him Count Orlok, no matter what, he's in character.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, he's that type of actor. Okay,
yeah, he's not gonna come out of character until the DVD commentary is over.
right. And I think that's a fun jab at, let's face it, people are now like fucking Jared Leto.
Right.
You know, it is things like people do win awards doing that, but a lot of people go insane as well.
Correct.
You know, just Malkovich being Malkovich, you know, essentially I was expecting, hey, you fuck face. You know, but he is John Malkovich through and through in this movie. He's fantastic for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, and just even recreating the scenes, like, despite us not liking the movie Renfield, we did like them recreating the original Dracula scenes.
And yeah, those scenes were great. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and this movie did it, you know, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
22 years ago. And I think they did a fantastic job of it, even reshooting it to make it look exactly like it. So kudos to the person that wrote this and just made that happen. And it's just interesting to see the, like, in a silent movie, you can yell at people all you want and tell them exactly what to do, because right. Doesn't matter.
Right. I was like, he's like yelling out loud, like, this is how you feel, this is how you should react. And I'm like, that's not gonna show. Oh yeah.
And he's like, oh, don't cut yourself. right so that scene of him cutting his thumb on the bread, it was the meta joke is that he yelled at him to scare him to do it.
Right.
And didn't eat the actor, he just ended up killing the DP instead. All right, those are my highlights. I'll go my low points. Never eat your cast, folks. Your cast and your crew, you need them to make a movie. I know it's your art form, but
we just get other ones.
Yeah, on planes. Let's face it, as much as I love the actors in there, I would say there's at least two of them that have really bad German accents.
I guess you said that everybody has a German accent in this movie.
Cary Elwes is trying. He doesn't have it. He's trying, though.
Well, at least he starts out with an accent.
Correct. John Malkovich loses it entirely by the end.
Yeah, really. He does. He tries for a while and then just stops.
It's about when he's towing his bed frame he's under morphine, he just loses it completely. he is full John Malkovich at the end. Honestly, that's all I have for low points. How about you?
I'd say like it drags a bit, like in the middle of the movie, like there's not a whole lot happening. There's a lot of like stagnation in the film, right? When they're like, it's the point where they're trying to figure out what the fuck they're gonna do. Mm-hmm. And he like refuses to move, so they have to film the ship scenes in the castle. Like that kind of time, it was like, I don't know, it felt, it was like a good 10 minutes in there. It just felt like it was dragging, like nothing was really happening. But yeah, that was that. For as long as it was, there wasn't a whole lot of tie-ins. I expected there to be more. In the beginning, there was a bunch, right? Mm-hmm. And then it just, as time went on, they just like stopped doing that. I thought they should have kept doing those, as I did like them a lot. I wrote another one here, and I don't know what it says. So we'll just skip that one. So yeah,
needs more Greta. All right. So once again, pints of blood out of 10. I said this is a solid movie. I'd say as good as Nosferatu. So I will give this an 8 pints of blood out of 10. It says it's good. It's a companion piece. You need to watch them together. Sound.
You know, I'll probably agree with you. I think it's right about there, but yeah, that's good. 8, that's good.
Yeah, it's an essential companion piece that no one knew they needed until this movie came out.
Right. It's a fun secondary, but like after you watch the original Nosferatu, it's a fun like kind of second look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting.
Yeah. All right. So, spoilers ahead. you know, for the Nosferatu 2024. I really just want to talk about the differences, the main differences that we can remember, right? Because the storyline is the same.
Yeah, it's exactly it's literally the exact same. It's, I mean, there's just more added to it. So that's, it's like this, yeah, the same thing is still Knock, is still the guy, the real estate guy. He sends Hooter there. Mm-hmm. You know, they explain why a little better. Like, oh, he wants somebody to be there in person because he's too old, you know, and infirm. Yeah. He needs somebody to help.
One foot in the grave.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like stuff like that. But it's everything happens exactly the same. I mean, the depiction of Romania is a little more accurate.
A little right? bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's way more accurate. Like everybody has those luxurious Romanian mustache.
Yes, they do.
I mean, that's a thing. They all had mustaches. That was like a sign of masculinity.
Back after then. He wakes up and he gets the vision of stabbing Dracula with a metal stake, everyone's gone.
Right. Yeah. When he wakes up with muddy boots. Yeah. So yeah. We get to see, yeah, like the, you know, the those people and how they, you know, have those, you know, myths about vampires and like mm-hmm. how they would like stab their dead bodies and cut off their heads to like make sure they wouldn't come back to life. Like it was a very real thing that happened in that, you know, yeah. section of the world.
I'd say one of the biggest differences is Orlok's connection to Ellen.
Right. Because yeah, it's established that
years
ago. Yeah, she was like always like kind of psychically connected.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents thought she was like the devil for yes. doing so. So she was like kind of shunned by her family and she felt very, very lonely. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of called out not only with her voice, but also with her like psychic gifts. Like if anyone that would come and like, you know, spend time with her to like, you know, to give her life meaning instead of being shunned all the time. And so, of course, the evil count came to her, but she was a child. Yep. And so she promised herself to him. But because she was a child, she couldn't like fully commit to it.
Right. So essentially, instead of signing the deed to the house, which is not across the street from them anymore,
right,
is that he, you know, when Hooter is there, he's like, oh, this is in my language. And it's essentially nullifying his vows.
Right. It's essentially selling his wife
yes.
to the count is because yeah. he's giving him money. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he, to be fair, he tells him this is the deed to the house. Like, you need to sign it because you're the solicitor as a witness. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't tell them what he's signing it for. But in his language, he wrote, like, you sell your wife to me. She's now mine.
Your wife. She is mine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Other big difference is he doesn't bite their necks. He bites their chests.
Right. Yeah. He bites, like, their heart. Yes. Like, directly through their chest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess another big thing is, like, the Nosferatu does not look the same.
He has a glorious mustache.
Yeah. He has a giant, very full, you know, classic Romanian mustache. He's wearing, like, an old-timey, like, you know, Prussian military outfit.
Vlad the Impaler.
Right. Well, I mean, not that far back, but old, like, yes. centuries old
yes.
military uniform from like the Prussian era of when you're like, you know, the Romania was part of all that. So yeah, he's also like a rotting corpse.
Right. He doesn't really, he has a swath of hair, but he is like holy and like worms infesting his back.
Right. Essentially. Yeah. He's a fucking corpse. Like whereas like Orlok in the first one looked all fucked up, but he wasn't like rotting. And this right. one, he's like, he's literally a rotting corpse. And like his clothes are very like elaborate, but very old and tattered and like, you know, mothy. Right.
He would look right in place with Resident Evil Village.
Right. Right. But yeah, so it's like that's a major difference. There's a lot more interaction between Ellen and like the people that she's staying with, like Harding, mm-hmm. the shipmaker, and his wife. In the original, there was like pretty limited, like, oh, she slept like a couple times, she's got blood congestion, she'll be fine. And then that's really it, you know, and then nothing really happens with her until they come back. And this one, that's like there's stuff happening with her the whole time.
Yes.
Like it's counter to it. I think.
And the friend is no longer just Herring. It's his wife and children as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Harding's wife was there, but again, the scene was so limited with her in the original that it's heavily expanded upon.
Oh,
The Defoe role is not, it's like a new role. I mean, essentially it's like that role kind of sort of barely existed in the original and it's heavily expanded upon.
Well, I'd say the Doctor was like, 2 minutes?
Yeah, he was a very limited part of it. So, like, Defoe's role is really, like, invented.
Third act.
Invented for the film, and then the Doctor himself is greatly expanded as well.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot more about Nock being, like, directly in touch with, like, you know, a cult of some form or another that kind of sort of worshipped him.
Well, he has a shrine with a beating heart. He has the book of the beast, essentially. He has naked rituals in his office and we see biting the heads in people and animals.
Yeah, so he's like a part of the cult and intentionally sets all this stuff in motion,
mm-hmm.
which they kind of sort of suggest in the first one, but they don't really give you enough information to know that.
No, it's just that they're just adding more depth to it. Every character you see in the original, they add more depth to.
Right. And then, of course, the same sacrifice with her happens, but we get a lot more explanation as to what that means and how that happens. So, the son kills him, and she's sacrificing her blood so that he doesn't realize what time it is.
Correct.
And so he gets hit by the sunlight because he's so enraptured with her love and blood.
Right. He tries to leave. She's like, whoa, there's still more in me.
Right. And so then he stays and then shrivels into an even more corpsey looking mummy.
Right. Thing. Not a puff of smoke.
No. Yeah. He does. He stays, but he like shrivels into like a mummy or something.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
Ether.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Again, like I said, there's all her part is greatly expanded.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of go into like the medicine of the time, you know, like what they were trying to do, what they were trying to move away from, but what they were still very naive about, you know, like
well, women still had basically congestion of blood. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like women are basically like, you know, you're told what to do. Just fucking do it. Like,
yep.
And if you're like doing anything else, you're raving mad and you get drugged.
You get drugged and you get a corset tightened on you even
more. Oh, she'll sleep better with a corset on. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
She'll pass out? Dear God. So.
And the friend of the family, you know, they talk about the 3 nights it takes for him to be there. This is night one. She's like, I'm going to kill everyone you know unless you give yourself to me.
Right.
You know, night two is her friend and the kids. And then eventually, you know, Craven the Hunter dies.
Yeah.
From it.
Well, he kills himself.
Oh, yeah. He also has the plague.
Right.
Yeah. There is a plague outbreak too in Vicksburg.
And it is directly told that killing the vampire stops the plague.
Yes.
In the original, they never said anything about the plague other than it was there.
Correct. But the main story beats are all there.
Yeah, again, most of this stuff is just adding more to the existing story beats that were already there.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff happens pretty much the same way. There's just a lot more exposition, I think.
Yeah.
Which is not bad. It is fun, and it fills out in a lot of ways, and I do enjoy it. But those are the differences, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that, you know, we typically watch these in release year in our world to have seen these two movies before obviously watching the new Nosferatu.
These fit together very well.
Yes.
Like some of them, you know, some of the themes that we have are kind of loose, very loosely connected. These are like directly connected. Like if you don't watch, you know, these in this order or watch these, you know, in general together, like you're missing out, I think.
Yes,
I think watching these three, you know, together is a definitely fun experience.
It's a complete set that you need to do.
Right.
All the way through. You want me to go first for my highlights?
Sure.
The music, again, killer.
Correct.
The the change of color tones, it's so muted in a lot of places. It's basically black and white.
Yeah, it's done like that on purpose, I'm sure. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. The newer vampire lore of it is good. I do appreciate that. I found out that every rat that you see is real. Eggers did a real rat set.
Yeah, I mean, rats are supposedly real easy to work with.
Yeah.
Because they're great. If you just have a big group of them, they play well as like background, but they're also mm-hmm. highly trainable. So if you need a rat to do something specific, you can train a rat to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love it. It just adds to it. So, I mean, Eggers does that depth, right? Yeah.
See, rats I'm not scared of. I like rats. I used to have pet rats.
There you go. The atmosphere. You felt like that castle was crumbling into shit. just like the state of Orlok.
Right.
And I do like his design. It's not over the top vampire at all.
No, it's like regional time specific.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like exactly what they say it is. That's what it is.
Yes. And I'd say that, this doesn't take away anything bad from the original at all. It doesn't disrespect it. It's not a pointless remake. It is a solid ass entry into this world.
Right. Yeah. Cause it doesn't change anything. It doesn't, because a lot of remakes will do that. They'll try to twist stuff mm-hmm. to like give you a surprise. It doesn't have to.
Right.
You know, all the original story beats are still there. They're just expounded upon.
Yeah.
You know, so like anything else that's like a fun add or a fun change, it's not changing the story beats. It's just adding to them, you know, adding more meat to the bones. And I thought it was a fantastic job.
And I will argue this is one of the best Dracula movies ever made.
Correct.
Hands down. The acting of this was phenomenal across the board. I'm teetering on one person in particular, maybe not being so good.
Yeah, I have one on my side. We'll see if we agree.
Lizzie Rose Depp.
Is that
Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She did not do it for me.
I agree. That's the one exception that I have.
Everyone else. Like, if you didn't know that was fucking Skarsgård, you'd have no idea.
No, man, I don't know if he's going to be like the new Lon Chaney, because he is like, I mean, he's been like playing like all the villains, but he also plays other roles like fantastic too.
Barbarian. You thought because you're like, oh, he's right. A villain, and he's not.
Right. And that's what's great about like being in the genre in general. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see the trend of like, oh, they're playing villains or oh, they're playing heroes. And that's why it's so much fun when they switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get that reversal because, yeah, Barbarian, you expected I think that's the menacing part of that film is like that. Well, that whole section of the film is you're like, he's the bad guy, right? He's going to do something bad. Like, of course he is.
Right.
Right? It's Bill Skarsgård. He's fresh off of It. Right. Like, of course he's going to do something. And no, he doesn't. No. I mean, just spoiler, I guess.
He is the man of a thousand faces, a man of many faces and voices too. His characters don't sound the same. And that's amazing.
Well, I read an article that stuck that he actually took opera lessons for this role to learn how to lower his voice an entire octave.
And I'm pretty sure in the breathing was him too.
Right.
Yeah.
I really like that. I really like the breathing because
he's wheezing. He's old. His lungs are on fire.
Yeah, they're doing that because he's a corpse. He doesn't have to breathe.
Right.
But he has to get air in his lungs to speak.
Yep.
So his lungs haven't been used in so long, so that when he's breathing in air to speak, like he sounds like he's fucking, well, again, a corpse because he is.
Yeah.
That breathing and wheezing, because he only has to do that when he's going to talk.
Yep.
I don't know. I thought it was a cool...
I also like the fact that you would bite the heart.
And it depends on how fast you can drink it. If you pierce the heart, it's going to spray like 10 feet in the air.
Right. If I said overall, other acting minus Lily Rose Depp, she clearly is not English or German. she took it out. I was sitting there debating all day yesterday and all the night before, and I came home. I'm like, am I really that bothered by her acting in this? I go, yeah, I am. I came home and wrote that back down before recording. Like, yep, I had acting being great. And I said, minus that.
Yeah.
Those are my highlights. How about you?
I would totally agree with you on atmosphere. I thought he had a fantastic use of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
The original film has that great use of shadow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one just expands on that. I like the scene where he like reaches out his hand over the city, and you can like see all the lights going out and like people screaming as his shadow is like going over their house. That was an amazing shot.
Yes.
But yeah, his use of darkness was great. Like we already talked about, the atmosphere itself was great. The shadows, the way that the vampire moved, you know, the way that he kind of teleported around, mm-hmm. when you weren't looking, the vampire design itself I thought was very cool. Bill Skarsgård is, I don't know if he hasn't won an award yet, he's definitely should.
Yes,
because he's fucking great. He becomes these different roles and he's amazing. Holt was great. Defoe was great. The Doctor was great. Knock was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody was great. Like you said, there's only one kind of left off the list. We'll talk about that in a second. Again, this one has a lot more violence, right? I mean, obviously, it's easier to film violence and attacks and stuff now than it was back then. But yeah, there's a lot more violence and a lot more consequences for actions in this mm-hmm. one. The other one, again, they couldn't really film action scenes well. I understand why they didn't do it, because it would have taken away from the original, I think, if they tried. This one definitely adds it in because it can, and it does a fantastic job. And I thought they did a better job depicting Nock in this one, like showing the, like, he is nuts, and like he put this whole thing in motion on purpose. And they, you know, they, I mean, he's obviously kind of like the Renfield-ish character, but they really show his dark side in this one. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yep.
And the lows here, yeah, I mean, Ellen, some people have a 4 head. I would say she has like an 8 head, maybe even like a 10 head. Because, yes. Dear God, it looked like, you know, like you ever see like those Thai like kickboxers?
Yeah, yeah.
Hair was like that. Her hairline was almost like directly connected from ear to ear on top of her head.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know if it was the way that they did her hair or what, but yeah, she's got a giant forehead.
Yeah.
She didn't do bad. I thought she did well for a lot of the scenes. The scenes I did not like is when she did like her fits.
Yes.
I thought those were ridiculous. And even in the film, we were watching it in theater, obviously, because this is only out in theater right now. And people were actually laughing
mm-hmm.
at some of her later fits because they were like ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was way too many of them, and it was just like unnecessary. And I just thought they took away from it at that point. And again, this is, yeah, we're talking, well, I'm going by the acts in the original. In the original, there was 5 acts. So we'll say in the acts 4 and 5, when they get back to the city, it kind of drags a bit because it moves a little slower at this point than it does in the original.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, once we get to the city, things move very fast. In this one, it's like the whole 3 nights thing, the whole like leading up to him even finding her and introducing himself to her. It's like multiple days before we even get to that point.
Yeah, the original was like, you meet the doctor, and there's 5 minutes left of the movie.
Right, yeah, it's like, you meet the doctor, and now she's sleeping on the bed, and he's coming in. Like, it's almost done. And, like, in this one, it adds a significant amount of time. Like, the whole Willem Dafoe talking to the doctor, setting this whole, all that stuff is added. And I think it drags a bit, maybe because I just watched the original, and I'm like, okay, so, like, why is there so much stuff happening here? I didn't think it was bad. I just thought it felt like it dragged a bit at that point. I just thought there was a lot of stuff going on, but there was a lot of really cool scenes in there, you know, like where the vampire kills the fucking kids. It's like darkly fucked up, you know, like there's interjecting stuff of like really good stuff in between. I just felt like there was a little too much. In that section, and I think, you know, Ellen having her fits and breakdowns and, you know, hysterics in that time period.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that kind of added to it. I think it just, because you were already dragged out at that point, and then seeing her have a fit for 10 minutes, it's like, okay,
yep.
we can move on. But I thought her acting when she wasn't doing the fits was not bad. I'm not going to say she was bad. I just think she was definitely the worst of them.
Oh, easily.
But again, she's also standing up against some great people. So that's, I guess that's hard to do. The ending is still sad, right? Mm-hmm. She still dies. This time the mummy dies right on top of her, which can't be comfortable. Can't be a good way to go out. Not only that, but she's also naked at the time.
Yep.
Which is great. And then we also don't get the iconic scene of him rising from the box. I was waiting for it.
As was I.
And it did not happen. And I was like, really? We got the whole, like, him, his shadow sneaking up the stairs. We got that scene.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get the him coming out of the box. I was waiting for it.
No, we got rats coming out of his coffin on the ship and set.
Yeah. Well, they had that scene in the original.
Yeah.
When they opened up the box of dirt, the rats came out.
Yeah, but I'm saying he was after that. They didn't have it there.
So. Yeah. I mean, the scene was pretty interesting when he was, like, moving towards the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, literally standing behind him the whole time. But until he moved a little bit, you didn't know it was him. Because he, like, looks like weathered wood at that point. it was a cool scene. I'm not saying there wasn't cool scenes to replace it. I just was waiting for that scene and it didn't happen. But that's all I got. What do you got?
I agree. I wrote down long, all in caps. Long.
Yeah.
Like, I remember sitting there. I remember going through the thought. This is two nights ago. And, like, is this movie done yet? Like, it should be done, right? And, like, I looked at my phone, like, okay, this is a long ass movie. 2 hours and 20 minutes. Added 40 fucking minutes.
Yeah. No, yeah. It added a significant amount. And I think most of it is in that. Again, yes. Going off of the original, the act mm-hmm. 4 and 5.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Right.
Easily. That's where it is. And I mean, if you have Willem Dafoe, you're going to use Willem Dafoe. And I get that. But yeah, I agree with your points of why it seemed longer.
Yeah.
The children didn't have to speak, right? I felt like they didn't need to speak because they were annoying as hell to me.
Yeah, but children are on. They are.
I mean, I don't disagree. But like, it's something like, you know, the. Like, their acting was not good. And you know what exactly? You know who they remind me of? The children in The Witch.
The Vavitch.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Obviously, it's Eggers. Maybe right. That's how he deceased children. I don't know.
Right.
But I think they were just trying to humanize Ellen, humanize Harding and his wife. I think without the children, I think you might have seen them as cold. I mean, they're just acting as they would have in that time period.
Yes.
But for us looking back, they would have seemed very cold.
Yes.
And I think without the children, I don't think we get to see how human they are. And I don't think their deaths would have meant as much.
They didn't have to speak, though.
I agree. I mean, kids annoy the shit out of me. But I think that's the reason why I understand why they're there.
Oh,
that's that's why I'm not complaining. I didn't enjoy them either, but I'm not complaining that they were there because, again, without it, how else are you going to humanize them? And to us, looking back on 1838, obviously, it's a hell of a lot different world than we're in now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And of course, Vamp Dick.
Yeah, that Vamp Donger was flopping.
I go. Not sure that's necessary. I don't think it added to the movie. Yeah.
Can't you just pretend like it fell off already? I mean, he's a corpse, right?
I was not expecting that. I'll give the movie credit. I was not expecting Vamp
Dick. I wasn't either. I was like, oh, we're going there. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it's just a lot of these things are just minute points. And we try to find something to have our little points. But yeah, like I said, depth. Maybe they thought she was able to act really well and then, you know, rehearse the convulsions or the hysteria or the, you know, the congestion of the blood.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's her forehead was very distracting. She's been in other things and I haven't been that distracted by her forehead. I think it was just the way they did her hair in this movie.
It honestly felt like, obviously I'm bald. If I just got a really shitty wig.
Right. It felt like they put a wig on her, but they like attached it too far back or something.
Yes.
I don't know what it was. It was very distracting. But again, I don't think her acting was necessarily that bad. I just think there was certain aspects of it that weren't great. And I think those aspects shined brighter because they were very obvious.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say she was bad. I'm going to say aspects of it were bad, but I don't think she was bad in general.
Yeah. But I mean, you always have a weaker person in the movie generally. And that's just happened to be her, unfortunately, because she was up against really strong.
Yeah, horse. I guess she's also standing against, you know, some giants there. So
yeah,
I mean, it's kind of hard to compete with Sid from Final Fantasy.
That's very true. All right, so Salem, how many pints of blood out of 10 do you give the 2024 Nosferatu?
I'm going to be a very unimaginative, and I'm going to say 8.
8. Ah, man. You know, it's only been one watch for us. And maybe knowing the length of the movie going to it, when I rewatch it again, it'll be different. But at this point in time, I do kind of like it better than Nosferatu, the original. A little bit.
Yeah, so I think it adds a lot to it. You're going to fuck it up. Fine. Fuck it up.
Yeah.
I'm changing mine to a 9 then. I was trying to keep it, you know, homogenized with all 8s, but fine if you're gonna be like that.
This is definitely it's the bookend, right? You have the original, you watch the funness that is the middle one, and you watch just the I'm gonna say it right now, the right way to fucking do a remake.
Right. Again, it stays true to all the original elements of the original, right? It stays true to every single one of the elements from the original, and it expands so much.
Yeah.
Expands so much that maybe you don't want it to expand as much, right? Like, maybe you don't want to do that much. But again, it is a great movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, it's longer, but I don't regret it being longer. It felt like it was long in that stretch. I think just because when you get to that point in the original, we're almost out. And when you get to that point here, we're like halfway through.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, no, this is how you remake it. If you're going to remake it, it's not after 5 years, it's not after 10, it's not after 30, it's not after 40, 102. Let's go 102 for every remake.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
So, all right. Anything else to add to this episode?
No.
All right. Well, our 2024 is done for our podcast. We watched some truly terrible movies this year year and that we just happened to review this year.
Yeah.
But I'd say we also discovered some really great movies as well. It's a mixed bag of this. We'll get more into that with our next episode, which is we're going to rate our top 5 and bottom 5 horror movies of 2024. I'm probably gonna have some honorable mentions. I think we should probably have, I'm probably gonna have a couple in there just because the highs are really high and the lows are, well, really low.
Yeah, I'll have one honorable mention.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, well, I just, because I guess spoiler is Nosferatu replaced something on the list. I won't say top 5 or bottom 5, but you just heard my score, so I'm guessing you know what I'm saying. So I replaced one with Nosferatu, but I really did like that one, so I will mention it. And it's not in your list at all. So I will at least have one.
Right. And this is why we waited to do this episode, because before our top 5 and bottom 5 even too, because we need to see Nosferatu.
Well, yeah, Nosferatu. Yeah, I know I needed to see Nosferatu because Eggers, I've fucking loved every one of his movies. The fucking Northman is one of my favorite. It's a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was fucking great. I mean, The Vivitch is great.
Lighthouse
was fucking great. I mean, Lighthouse is fucking weird.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah.
Everything he's done so far has been stunning. I mean, it has been just outstanding. So I knew I needed this one. I was almost positive. I had to watch it first. Almost positive it was going to be on my list. And then the other one I was waiting for was Heretic, which we haven't covered, but we'll be discussing a little bit.
We'll discuss it a little bit. Time. We'll do a full in-depth analysis of it, I think, sometime next year, I hope.
Yeah, we'll find some stuff to throw in with.
Yeah. So let's hope that 2025, we get some bangers in here, right? There's a lot that we're looking forward to. Hell, we can do that in our next episode, what we're looking forward to in 2025. Of stuff that's coming out, because let's face it, although we don't do TV shows, Alien Earth, yeah, it's on there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what it is, right? I mean, yeah. It's interesting knowing what time period it's going to be in. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they going to do? I don't know. It'll be fun for sure.
I think we need to do that show because we did everything else Alien.
Well, yeah, we haven't done any TV shows yet, though.
I know. But it'd be a good one to start with.
Well, then you're going to open up a big can of fucking worms with that. I don't know. Do you want to do that?
No, we don't have to.
Well, because you're going to make me watch some horse shit. And I don't... Right. You're going to make me watch like all like 38 seasons of fucking Supernatural or whatever the fuck it is.
If it ties to a franchise we've done, how about we do that? How about that?
Well, Supernatural ties to all the fucking franchises because they have like 40 seasons. So they have episodes relating to everything.
You know what I mean.
I'm sure they got a fucking Frankenstein episode and like a fucking vampire episode and like...
Oh, there are tons of vampires.
Yeah, right. See? You can tie it into fucking everything. I know you're going to do that to me. That's why I'm like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that.
Then we'll just enjoy Alien Earth for ourselves.
Well, we'll see when we get there.
Yes. All right. But remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked in the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.